Speaking of drafts, our next guest, well, John talked earlier about how he welcomed Wayne Gretzky when the Gretzky trade. Well, then he likely would have been there or welcoming our next guest when he was the first ever selection for the Edmonton Oilers. Kevin Lowe joins us. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm just great, thanks, Jason. Just great. Happy to be on the show and celebrate John's birthday. And
thank you for the hockey tickets.
You're welcome.
I am going to a hockey game tomorrow night for the first time in the new building, courtesy of this man. Kevin, thank you so much.
Well, courtesy of Oilers Entertainment Group and Bob Nicholson, John. We're just thrilled to have you.
I know who pushed the button, though. Thanks, Kevin. I do want to say one thing before we get into any more serious conversation. When you arrived as the first ever Edmonton Oilers draft choice, I was so impressed. You know that I said this. I said eventually he will be part of a Stanley Cup team. Eventually he will become the captain of the team. Eventually he will become coach of the team. And then you surprised me and you became even general manager of the team. But you were designated for big things the moment I met you. And we had that first telephone conversation.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm fortunate the way things fell into place for me, and you know, getting drafted by the Oilers and being embraced by Wayne, especially we became roommates and great friends, and then to have a guy like a mentor like Glenn Sather, and Edmonton's such a great sports market. It provides a kind of training ground for sports media people like yourself and Jason and many that we know throughout that are in sports nationally, but also in the management and coaching world, lots of guys have gone on to have good success. So I was fortunate, and I'll never forget all my days talking to you. And you're a great gentleman, and a great promoter of the sport, all sports, but particularly hockey.
You know, I have to tell one story, and you picked up on it very quickly. Because of the schedule, the radio thing, I was on during the game, before the game, after the game, and we would get involved in sometimes criticism of a very successful hockey team. And one day, I went down just before the game, and I saw a guy working with his stick outside the dressing room. For years, playoff time, I would go down once, if you remember, and just say, "Hi, Kevin, wanted to come down and wish the Oilers good luck." Do you remember that?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, it was all, we were all a little superstition. Even the guys like yourself covering the team, everybody wanted the team to win so badly. And that's what's nice about it, about Edmonton. You know, we've had our challenges on the hockey side for a number of years, well documented, but I think in general, the media want to see the team successful. It's not always the case in other cities, in sports where there's an antagonistic sort of relationship with media. But in Edmonton, the guys have to do their job and have to call it like it is. But I think by and large, the people wanted to see that they're proud of the city and proud of the sports teams and wanted to see them do well.
Well, and the other thing that I always remembered about the approach of this hockey team was that what stayed in the room literally did stay in the room. And because I was in that kind of funny situation where close to the Oilers and yet still doing radio, there would be stories that had come out and you'd hear about it, and one of the veterans would say, "Doesn't help us." And more importantly, didn't help the player that was involved. I mean, one example was Peter Klima, who had lifestyle troubles. He would occasionally miss a practice or miss a game. And I remember a former captain of the Oilers who said to me, "It doesn't help Peter that you tell this story." And I know who that captain was, too.
Yeah, it's tough to keep everybody on track in the state straight and narrow, but I firmly believed, assuming that everyone was behaving within the law, that it took all kinds to be successful, and we certainly had all kinds. We had the blue chip stars and blue chip leaders, but we had to all cast of characters. The same with the Eskimos and their great years of success. And had to respect the fact that people were individuals, and if they came to play at the right time, that's all that really mattered.
What I liked best about that team as a group was the recognition of the so-called journeyman, the respect that was paid to Craig Muni, the respect that was paid to Dave Lumley in the early days, the really good players who never became superstars, were never candidates to be Hall of Famers, and you certainly have been a candidate for a long time, even as a player. But it was those players who were treated with so much respect, and it rubbed off through the entire organization. The same thing applies to Dave Hunter, the way he was treated, the way Semenko was treated. It was an incredibly impressive group to be around.
Well, that's how you build a winner, and those guys, you can't win championships without solid players, very good players, great players that are willing to accept a lesser role to be part of it. And you quickly learn once you start having success. The old saying, it doesn't pay to be a big fish in a small pond. I'd rather swim in the ocean and win championships than, individually be more successful in other places. But you hit all those names, Dave Hunter, Dave Lumley. I mean, even going back to Stan Weir, our first year.
Absolutely.
Guys like Patty Hughes and of course, maybe the most well-known, he might not have been, he wasn't a journeyman. I mean, he was one of our first captains, Lee Foglin. He exemplified, doing the part on a team to formulate a champion.
Well, and you always have given him credit because he was your first defense partner, and you've often said he taught you how to be a National Hockey Leaguer, and then you passed it on to a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah, Fogey and Wayne and Mark will, Paul Coffey, they'll all say the same thing with so much respect for Lee Foglin for what he did and to give us an opportunity to grow. And he was a great example of a fine family man and just the kind of blue chip person you want around the dressing room all the time.
Well, the story I like about Lee, and he and I lived in the same neighborhood for a while, and we used to sit every so often, believe it or not, in front of a little corner store and eat creamsicles as his kids ran around. and one day, we've all heard the line perfect face for radio, and of course it was perfectly appropriate when they talked about me. And one day he said, John, that's not it. It's not the perfect face for radio. He said, it's a face only a mother could love because all your friends died laughing.
You're too hard on yourself, John.
No, that was his line, not mine.
Kevin, I really appreciate you taking some time to share some stories about John and wish him a happy birthday. And obviously, great for you guys to send John and Marta to the game tomorrow night. I know they're going to really enjoy it.
Well, Jason, thanks for asking because I feel honored to be a part of this day and appreciate you asking. And John, again, congratulations. And I'm unfortunately not going to be there tomorrow night, but let's say if I don't want to jinx us, but if the team gets in the playoffs, I'll be gladly there to host you for another game. How's that?
Well, you may get a telephone call before that, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
all right,
Kevin.
Have a great afternoon, guys.
You too. Appreciate it. Kevin Lowe.